This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Knox will pick him up. Williams corkscrews up, off, and down! It's a two-point lead. Final seconds. Wagner with it. Driving on Hawkins. Firing. Texas Tech has won!
Great game in the tournament last night. Texas Tech over John Calipari and Arkansas was not as good as it probably was. I didn't watch it. The best basketball finish of the night, though. You need to see the end of Lakers-Bulls if you haven't. This game was 115-110 L.A., with 12 seconds to go, 115-110, and the final in regulation was 119-117 Chicago. Bulls 3, steal, Bulls 3, Lakers inbound, layup, desperation half court, Bulls good to win it. No disrespect to Texas Tech and Arkansas. Here is Sam Panayotovic on the Wesher hotline, I think back from Vegas. A week plus would be a long time to be in Vegas. I think we agree on that. Was it great on the whole, Sam?
Oh, yeah, but I'm rested and recovered. I flew back Sunday night. I do this thing where I fly back. I leave Vegas about 4 or 5 o'clock. I land in Boston after midnight, and there's always a crying baby two rows in front of me. It's the best.
That happened again. That streak continued?
It keeps happening, Mike. Who flies late night red eye with a baby? That's insanity.
You do what you've got to do, I guess. Sam Panayotovic with us here on the Wesher Hotline. Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to catch Bet Sweats live 9 to noon daily on the newly rebranded BetMGM network and on the Odyssey app. Did I see something about $60 nachos?
They were $68, and we didn't have a choice because I will say MGM took care of a lot of things. They got the rooms. They put us up here. They put us up there. But when we got to the pool, the food was full price, and these nachos were $68, but they tasted like they were $38, if you know what I mean. And the cheese-to-chip ratio was horrible. Somebody actually asked, because we were talking about it on the show on Monday. We were recapping our trip. And I put the picture up on my Twitter, at SP Shoot, if you want to see the nachos. They're fine, but $68, I mean, I can go to a nice steakhouse in Buffalo and get a ribeye, you know?
Yes. Is it for one person? Or is it to share?
No, it's for like six, but okay. It's not the point. You know that's not the point.
No. Yeah, right, of course, nachos. Like the Sabres have 2-foot nachos, is it, that they sell? I'm sure it's not $68. What's the meat then?
So they either gave you the option to do carne asada or chicken, and we did the steak. It was fine. I don't want to sound bougie. You know, I've never paid $68 for nachos, and I hope I never have to do it again.
Fair enough. Okay. The tournament so far, we heard the clip of the game last night, Texas Tech. You got Duke through. How was that in terms of a sweat last night? I saw the final, very high-scoring game, but we still overall have a tournament where the favorites are mostly getting home.
Oh, man, you're going to easily have four number ones in the Final Four, and as much fun as was poked at Jay Billis coming into the tournament because he picked 1-1-1-1 in his Final Four, I assure you Duke's going to have every chance to make it. Auburn should make it. Houston probably makes it bottom right, and Florida needs one more win. So it's a year of chalk, and it's so funny you bring up the favorite, Duke. I got an email the other day. You know, we get our game plans for Fox when we write. We get them like Monday or Tuesday. And one of the editors said, hey, we'd love to do a story on upsets because upsets always click. And I laughed and said, we better have a backup plan because there might not be any in the Sweet 16. And lo and behold, every favorite wins last night. Doesn't cover. You know, Duke didn't cover. Texas Tech didn't cover. But no upsets. And you've got four games tonight. I think we get one. Maybe we get two. But this is not the tournament of upsets. So now I think I have to pivot my story from here's this large upset to this is the upsetless tournament. I mean, the only one that really was exciting, I guess you can call McNeese over Clemson exciting, whatever, but Arkansas beating St. John's last weekend was the big one. Like, that's probably the upset of the tournament so far, but break over Missouri didn't really move my meter, and McNeese didn't either, especially when they kept parading the mascot with the boombox run. I had enough of him after one game. I just did. The kid with all the NIL deals, it's crazy. He's like a 300,000-aire right now, and he doesn't do anything. But I digress. There have not been a lot of memorable upsets, and I think that's what we want as college basketball fans, and we're just not getting it this year.
You want a few. You don't want only upsets, but you want a few. And McNeese, by the way, I mean, the games weren't even interesting. They were up 18 at halftime against Clemson, and they held on. I mean, I guess it was interesting that it got close. But what, a three at the buzzer to make it two? It wasn't even back and forth. I think I haven't watched it all. For me, the best game of the tournament, I thought it was riveting, was Florida-UConn.
That was a really good one, and you thought UConn had every crack to get in there and pull the upset, but Florida's resilience was just too much. And, you know, that game ends 77-75. It goes over at the buzzer, so Florida was up 77-72. Total was 150. UConn comes across the line, hits a three, meaningless to some, everything for others, to go over 150. It lands 77-75, which is 152. That was a good one. I thought the game I watched on the plane was really good on Sunday night, which ironically enough was the only buzzer beater in the first round. That was Maryland over Colorado State. That was a good one too down the stretch.
Yeah, second round, yeah. Or first week. How about Houston-Gonzaga? You would have wanted Gonzaga, and that was a tough one.
Yeah, we bet them plus 5.5, got lucky. They lost by 5. I had Zaga going far. I had him in the Final Four. I thought that was sort of the bracket of chaos, but it doesn't look like we're going to have any brackets of chaos in this entire thing, which is just the way it is. You know, that was fine. I thought Gonzaga, you know, had some opportunities there to make it more compelling and maybe more likely to pull an upset. The other game that was fun in terms of a comeback was Wisconsin-BYU. Wisconsin's down 10 2 minutes ago and loses by 2. They had the ball with a chance to either tie or take the lead. It's been an okay tournament, but I will say, for all the people complaining about it, you have really good basketball lined up for tonight. And tomorrow's games are insane, man. Duke-Bama is going to be a good one. Florida-Texas Tech. The thing about no upsets is that you get all the good teams far. And, I mean, there are several games tonight that I can't wait to watch, including this Ole Miss and Michigan State game. That's probably the most money I have in this round. I have Ole Miss plus 3.5. I think they could win if they make their threes. It's sort of offense and defense. Ole Miss has the offense. Sparty has a really good defense. But as we've learned, not only this year, but the last few years, elite offense beats elite defense in college. You know, if you can shoot and you can score, you're gonna go farther more times than not. So I like Ole Miss tonight, but, you know, Kentucky-Tennessee is going to be fun. That's the third time they've played. Kentucky won the first two meetings. Maybe Michigan can keep it close against Auburn. And then you got Houston-Purdue and what I think is going to be a rock fight. I bet the under in that one, 132.5 or 133.5. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, ideally, with no upsets, you have better games in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and the Final Four.
Yeah, that's right. It's just bottom line for me being maybe definitely on the casual side in this tournament is I need from – because of the tradition of it all, I need that hook, right? Like, I can tell that it's great play, but to me, like, they're kind of all the same elite program that has scooped up, by the way, in the last couple of years with the new changes, some of the top players in the mid-major level. And I guess, Sam, the question maybe everybody is asking themselves is this going to be how it is now, like permanently, where the top teams are just going to be too deep and they're going to suck that talent from the middle, like I said, and I mean, is this going to be how it is now pretty much every year?
It could be. I never like to use the word permanent, but if you look at a team like Florida, they have a team full of transfers from other schools. I mean, yeah, they recruited some of those guys, but a lot of those players for the Gators went to other schools at the beginning. And same thing with Alabama. Not so much with Duke. They have most of their own guys. But Michigan. Michigan's best player, I think, is Danny Wolf, who was a star on Yale last year. Yale won in the first round, pulled an upset, and then Michigan goes, hey, we want you, Danny Wolf. So he goes to Michigan. I think it's never going to be a case again where the mid-majors are going to get stronger from year to year. It's going to be more cutthroat than ever to keep your Ohio's afloat or your Akron's or your Western Michigan, whatever. Like, it's never going to be more difficult to sustain that growth from year to year to year with the same guys you bring in, because any player at the mid-major level with a pulse is going to get poached by a major program. That's the landscape, and that's the NCAA's fall.
Did I see, by the way, that maybe on like the smaller D1 programs, smaller still than even maybe the MAC, are going to go to D3?
Oh, I didn't see anything about that. So wait, they're gonna like relegate themselves?
Yeah, I should know more about it before asking.
So should I though.
I think maybe that's happened in a couple of cases. Maybe does it make sense? Like, it's just a losing game at the D1 level now, and I don't know. We'll figure out.
The problem is, if you go down to D3, you're going to miss out on all the money of being a D1 school and playing in a college football bowl game or March Madness. That's where you get a lot of the money when you make these postseason tournaments. So I'd have to do more digging on that. Let me flip this to something that I know some people in your audience are excited about. You know, I don't think we talked about Duke enough over the last month. Only one more win, Mike, to the Final Four.
Yes.
And, you know, as good as Bama was last night, did you see what they opened in Vegas, Duke and Bama, the number?
6?
Yeah, 6.5. And it got bet to 7 this morning. So I don't know that Bama is going to make 25 threes again. Duke's defense is much better than BYU's. And for those that listen to this show and have listened for a while, whether you have them to win the whole thing or make the Final Four, which I believe we talked about at minus 130.
Yes.
Duke is minus 300 on the money line against Bama. So we did our jobs. They have to do theirs now.
And you can easily hedge that. You know, you'll have.
We can middle it. We could take. So if anybody driving around Buffalo right now has Duke to make the Final Four, you could take Alabama +7. And if it lands 1 through 6.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you win it all.
Right? Just bet the money line. What I did with that is parlay Auburn to make the Sweet 16, but then also Gonzaga and Colorado State, and I lost that by a combined 3 points. So that would have been, that was like 20 to win 1,000. But, you know, that's why it's hard to win bets like that. Sam Panayotovich on the West Shore Hotline. One more college basketball thing, Sam. I see a lot from you guys, this first to 15 business. Is that all the rage, first to 15 points?
Yeah, because you get it out of the way early. And people love a lot of these dogs, but they love them for 5 minutes, not for 40. So what this market is, and a lot of these books do it, MGM does it. Let's take Duke and Alabama tomorrow, for example. I believe Duke to be the first to 15 points is minus 200, and Bama's plus 170. So whoever cracks 15 either gets to 15 or higher first. That's the bet. And a lot of people, a lot of public people like to play the dog. So they'll take Bama first to 15. They'll bet 10 to win 17 or 100 to win $1.70. And they will more often than not lose because the favorite usually gets there first. But it's a nice way to bet a dog early at a plus price. And you know your result within 5 or 6 minutes.
if you're that type, if you're so inclined. What was the game I was watching you guys do live? Bana? And somebody, it was a conference game, St. Bonaventure, and just you were doing play-by-play.
That's right. St. Bonaventure against maybe George Mason, some obscure Atlantic 10 team. That was when we had the conference games on during our show. So, yeah, that was – or maybe it was VCU.
That sounds right.
St. Bonaventure. Yeah, so our producer just bets all the dogs. And he takes them plus 150, plus 180, 2-1. And then when we try and throw a team at him plus 130, he says, no, I need more. I need a bigger price. And then, of course, those are the ones that usually win because they're closer to the middle. But it's a fun market. As I've always told you, the more bets you have for people, the more likely they are to bet.
And then he said, this is March, to cap the thrill ride that was. It was really funny. Sam, let's talk some NFL. So this week we got win totals. And this was your number. You asked Bulldog and me a week or two ago, would you bet the over on the Bills at 11.5? I think that's what your number was. And I said, yep. No. And I said, I don't know that I would bet anybody at over that number, but that's probably short-sighted. That is the number they got. Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, all coming in at 11.5. Anything about that surprising?
No, I don't love the juice on the Bills. So it's one thing to put up a number 11.5, but what's my price? You know, the standard bet's minus 110 each way. But this book that will not be named, and I don't think these numbers are all that great for the most part, and we will get to the middle when we get all the books to open these. I don't love over minus 150. I hate that. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to make a season-long bet, especially right now at the end of March that I have to wait until January for, I'm not laying $1.50 to win 100. So let's let MGM come up. Let's let the Vegas books open up and see what they get to. That according to that book, Buffalo's the best team in football, at least in the regular season, because they have the highest number and the highest juice on the over, minus 150. You did nail the four teams, Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles. They also, this book opened the Niners 11.5, and I thought, no shot.
Yep.
And that thing is already down a full win to 10.5.
Yeah, that surprised me too. And a couple others did as well, including Vegas, with Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, Geno Smith, a high draft pick, maybe Genty. And were they 5.5, Sam? Do you know? I mean, it was lower than I expected.
I think they opened 5.5. Bulldog asked me, and I said 6.5. You know, you do play the extra game this year, and a lot of times late in the season, half these teams don't care, or the other handful of teams have playoff berths already cinched up. So you can get those late season wins. They did move them to 6.5 on Vegas. And then the biggest mover, they put 3.5 on the Giants, which is insanely low. And that's already up to 5.5. I know the Giants suck, but to open 3.5 and have it move 2 whole wins in 3 days is not good bookmaking.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy number. I mean, the Hugh Jackson Browns lived in that kind of neighborhood, 3.5 or maybe even lower. Would you happen to remember the year after they went winless? I remember talking about the Browns, thinking you have to go over whatever the number is, and then that might have been the year they went winless, actually.
I remember some totals around 3.5, but it's hard to open much lower because you don't write any money on the over, right? Or on the under, rather. You know, you're trying to not balance the book, but you're trying to get good play on both sides. And if you open a total 3, you're not going to write much under, you know? Like, even sharp guys aren't going to bet you under 3. So that's sort of one-way action, and you never really want that. I thought the team that you were going to bring up was your Dolphins, 8.5.
My Dolphins. Under.
Well, you said you like the Dolphins relative to the other teams in the division, right? Like the Patriots and the Jets.
I mean, a little. I think I was putting it this way earlier this week with Miami. They're a team where it's hard for me to imagine they have a season very different from what they've had these last few years with so many of the same people, same coach and principal players. I mean, they've kind of established what they are. Good starts, but they don't beat good teams, you know, and it's just sort of in the middle. And I have a very hard time imagining them clearing that number with ease or maybe being terrible. So I guess I'd get closer to bad than they'd be great.
Well, every win total is predicated on the teams inside the division. And the good thing for Buffalo, I mean, the Buffalo Bills have a stranglehold like the Patriots had for many years. This division after Buffalo is horrible. Jets 5.5, Patriots 7.5, Dolphins 8.5. That explains a lot of the Bills 11.5 stuff, does it not?
Sure, right. You want 5 or 6 wins out of that. And even with, I mean, the Bills have a really interesting schedule outside of the division. How about this, Sam? If you didn't know, this is the last year of the stadium here. And they get Chiefs, Eagles, Ravens, Bengals all at home this year. I would expect 3 at least of those games to be 425 or primetime games. And they also, it's New Orleans and Tampa as well to fill out the home schedule. But like they will be in your face this year with those games.
That's fine. I love watching that quarterback play. He is one of my favorite guys to watch every Sunday, or if they play on Monday or Thursday or whatever.
You'll take it.
And this is a team, buddy. People bet them every year to win the Super Bowl, and there's only one team right now that has a shorter price at most books, and that's Philly. So they are Super Bowl good. They just have to get there.
Sunday or Monday or Thursday or Friday or Wednesday or Netflix or Prime or whatever else. one more, Sam. We're still, I think, about 3 weeks away from the NHL playoffs. I don't know if you have thought about that yet. I'm guessing as avid a player as you are, maybe you have, but I don't know. It's still not time yet. I was going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to bet against Washington, and if necessary, just Martingale it all the way to the end.
Oh, wow. It's so funny you say that because I bet the Capitals a month ago to win the whole thing. So this is very good content. You don't like them, huh?
No. To me, and I've had good success with this over the years. It's the markets are more sophisticated and they've picked up on sort of the teams that have great seasons but aren't actually that good. They've got the shooting percentage piece. They've got the save percentage piece, maybe special teams, stuff that is less. Maybe this has changed a little, but the way I have always thought of it, less reliable in a short series. So I'll bet anybody against them.
Okay. Let's get to the middle on a bet, though. USA versus Canada, nation to win the cup. It's got to be USA, right? It has to be.
It's been that for 30 years in a row.
It's only minus 300, Mike. We could parlay USA minus 300 with Bills to win the AFC, and I think we're in a good place.
And Alabama.
Alabama.
First of 15. No, like, well, who are we talking about? Toronto, of course. Winnipeg.
Edmonton. One.
All right, yeah. I don't love any of those teams, really. Winnipeg has had a great season. But Martingale, so when you lose, you just sort of double back and go after them again, and that could be really bad. I'm not saying that's necessarily a good approach to betting, but it could be 4 losses. I think I'll take my chances with that. All right, Sam.
1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-GAMBLER, right?
Yes, right. Very good. Thanks for your time, as always.
All right, see you, bud.
Sam Panayotovich on the West Herr Hotline. He and Joe Ostrowski host Bet Sweats together weekday mornings. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. For all of your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. I mean, these can lose, but it goes back around a decade. A couple of teams that I just did not like at all because they had sort of the flukier PDO they have in hockey, sort of the flukier stats. And generally that worked out. I'm trying to think of examples. I can think of examples. It's sort of ironic to me because when you bet, I think you more easily remember your losses. But I remember a Devils team that I got at good odds that went to the finals. The Rangers one year. It's too long ago to even care about. But Washington is kind of the sentimental, a sentimental choice right now because of Ovechkin and that record that won't, you know, matter in the playoffs. But they've had a great season. He's had an amazing year to make it close, make it realistic as we get near the end, that he can break the Gretzky record this year, which before the season, mostly what I heard was, well, he's going to need 40-some goals, and he's like right there. Did not score last night. So he's got 5 to tie still, Ovechkin, and then 6 to pass him. And what is it? They have 10 games left. I think it might be less than that. I want to check real quick. They play the Sabres on Sunday. 47-16-9, so 10 games left. Yeah. The Sabres have back-to-back weekend afternoon road games for the second week in a row. Last Saturday and Sunday, Minnesota and Winnipeg, and now we've got Philadelphia tomorrow and Washington on Sunday for the Sabres, who are digging out a little bit if it's not too late. Chad Dietemenesis will join us on them at 5 today. Sigmund Bloom coming up after the update. Talk about the Bills offense and a lot of rookies. That's what we're trying to figure out right now is the rookie running backs, receivers, and the quarterbacks too. Travis Hunter, a lot of interesting topics in that area to get into with Sigmund, who's always a great guy to have a conversation with. So that's coming up. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.